Cain brought simple vegetation, the product of his own hand, the result of personal initiative. What did Abel bring? He brought a sacrificial victim.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Violence is the supreme manifestation of self-centeredness. We're prepared to protect our self-interests at any cost, even if it means that we either verbally or actually physically abuse somebody. It's the supreme manifestation of our self-centeredness. This means that though the problem of violence and aggression and hostility and hatred surfaces in human experience psychologically and physically, verbal abuse and physical abuse, though it surfaces psychologically and physically, it is not basically a psychological or physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's a theological problem. It's directly traceable to the invasion, the intrusion of sin into the mainstream of humanity. And the result of that, our severance from God. Whenever we're severed from God, whenever we're alienated from God, there are abnormalities and hostilities that begin to invade our way of life. Terrible warps that destroy the benevolent intent that God had originally intended for humanity. The problem is not basically psychological and physical. It's basically a spiritual and a psychological problem. Sin and our severance from God cause it. Genesis 3 and 4 give us that answer. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have what we might call one humanity, a united humanity, an obedient and humble humanity. They hadn't fallen yet. They hadn't sinned yet. Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2. But after Genesis 3, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, and especially in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we see the emergence of what we might call two humanities. One of those is a violent and ungodly and rebellious humanity. The seed of the serpent, it's called in Genesis 3 and verse 15. The other is a humble, unworldly, not ungodly, a humble, unworldly humanity, a redeemed humanity. Now let's look at the development of two humanities in verses 1 to 7. If you have your Bibles open to that passage, and really there are three ideas in that section. One is what we might call origination or the roots of this humanity. That's in verses 1 and 2. Secondly, we see what we might call oblation. Oblation means sacrifice. They bring a sacrifice. We go from their roots to their reverence. And then finally, we see obligation, their responsibilities. If you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do not well, you'll be consumed by the power and principle of sin. First, the development of two humanities. And we see first their roots, the origination of these two lines flowing out of Cain and Abel. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, what do you see in verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 4? I see a couple of things there. Three things, really. The first thing I see is the integrity of marital union. It's sort of an aside, but we need to make reference to it. I don't want to pass over it. I want you to see the integrity. I mean by that the purity of marital union. The Bible says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. This is the roots, the origination of these two lines, Cain and Abel, and their descendants. And then the second thing I see is the intensity of Eve's faith. Do you notice what she says there as that child comes? She says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That is an expression of the intensity of Eve's faith. It reflects her faith in the promise which God had made to them in Genesis 3 and verse 15. God had promised that the seed of the woman would conquer the seed of the serpent. And Eve gives evidence that she believed that promise. And when God sees biblical faith, when God sees that there are people who believe his promise, he goes to work in their lives. They become justified. They become declared righteous. They become forgiven. They're joined to his family. They become a member of the right line. There was an intensity to her faith. Then I want you to see here the identity of these two lines. You see the integrity of marital union? You see the intensity of Eve's faith? You see here the identity of these two lines. First, there was Cain. She conceived and she bare a son. His name was Cain. Cain stood in the line of rebellion. He represents, I think, the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent. There was also Abel, who stands, in my mind, in the line of redemption. And he represents the seed of the woman who became a believer, and all of her descendants, those who became believers, line up with her in the line of the woman, the seed of the woman. So there was Cain first, and then there was Abel. Abel's name means, by the way, vanity. It means vapor. It means emptiness. It means mere breath. It's a revelation that Adam and Eve were beginning to see something. They were beginning to see more clearly every day the devastating effect of their fatal decision. Their fatal decision to disobey God and to assume their own personal autonomy and independence. Adam and Eve were learning by experience. Well, Paul states theologically in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8 in verse 20, for the creation was made subject to vanity. They were learning by experience what Paul states theologically, Romans 8:20. The creation was made subject to vanity. It means that no permanent, lasting, satisfying, or enriching good can come from anything or anyone on the globe so long as they remain on the run from God. I wonder if there's anybody on the run from God. Out of touch with God, out of a meaningful relationship with Him through His Son. No permanent, no lasting good can come from a life like that. The whole creation was subject to vanity, made subject to vanity. Paul adds one encouraging word so that we're not left in despair. He says in Romans 8 in verse 20, the whole creation was made subject to vanity, but in hope. It means that the futility will not be permanent. It means that there is a way out of this emptiness and a way back to God, but it must always be God's way, and that will involve sacrifice, that will involve the shedding of blood. Ultimately, that will involve Jesus Christ dying on the cross, paying our penalty for us. There is a way out of this emptiness. There is a way back to God. There's a way in which this emptiness can be filled, this meaninglessness can become purpose and joy in every one of our lives, and that's all wrapped up in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In their own way, Abel would learn this. Cain would not. Now I want to go a step further. We see their origination in verses 1 and 2. The origination of these two lines, the birth of Cain and Abel, and some of the implications that grow out of those verses. But look with me at their oblation. Oblation means sacrifice. They brought a sacrificial victim. They brought a sacrifice. And that's unfolded in verses 3, 4, and the first part of verse 5. The Bible says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, and unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Bible says, in the process of time, it means at the end of days. The Hebrew words mean at the end of days. Many Bible scholars believe that means at the end of the week, that is, on the Sabbath day, because the creation week was ingrained in humanity as a result of God's creative activity in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. It seems to imply at the end of days, in the process of time, it seems to imply a regular time and a regular place at which men were allowed to meet with God. It's possible that they met at the eastern gate of the Garden of Eden, where those flaming cherubim were. We studied it in Genesis 3, verses 20 to 24. It is also possible that this was the first adult expression of worship by Cain and Abel, and it is designed, no doubt, to reveal their character and to instruct us in genuine worship. Now let's look at the contrast. There's a threefold contrast in these offerings. There's a threefold contrast between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's. Number one, there was a contrast in their identity. We call it their properties. There was a contrast in their identity, the identity of the offering. What did Cain bring? He brought simple vegetation. He brought of the fruit of the ground. Verse 3. Cain brought simple vegetation, the product of his own hand, the result of personal initiative. What did Abel bring? He brought a sacrificial victim, a portion of his flock. He didn't bring simple vegetation. He brought a sacrificial victim. I believe it to be the product of God's hand and the result of divine instruction, not personal initiative. And because he was willing to do that, that was a reflection of his genuine faith. It's not unreasonable, so far as I'm concerned, it's not unreasonable to assume that both Cain and Abel knew the proper approach to God would require the shedding of blood. Some say, no, that it was too early in revelational history for them to know that. In my own mind, it wasn't too early. It's not unreasonable to assume that they both understood that the proper approach to God would require the shedding of blood. Number one, there was the historical record of such an event within the confines of Eden before they were expelled. God himself had taken an innocent victim and slain it and made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. There was the historical record of that already happening. Number two, Abel brought that offering on the basis of faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent offering. And faith always has content to it. Faith is always a response to what has been said by God. You say you have faith? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know that faith is always a response to what God has said? By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. God had said something, and Abel responded in believing faith. Faith is never a leap in the dark. Faith is a response to the light which God has given. And so Abel brought that offering on the basis of faith. God had said something, and Abel was responding. Cain was prepared to worship, and he was prepared to be pious. But he was prepared to worship and be pious only on his terms, not on God's. Abel, too, was prepared for worship, and he, too, was prepared for true piety, but with one significant difference. He was ready to come God's way and not man's way. And God's way always means the way of sacrifice and the shedding of blood, and the apex, the pinnacle of that truth is what we see in the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You say, it's such a dreadful thing, the shedding of blood. You're right, it's a dreadful thing. But so is sin. Sin is a radical disease, and it requires, if we're ever to be delivered from it, it requires a radical cure. And for us, it means the shed blood of Jesus Christ himself. God himself must assume flesh and blood and let that blood, God himself, in a sense, must die on the cross before we can ever be liberated from sin. It's a dreadful disease. It's a radical disease, and it requires a radical cure. There are still millions in our day and age who hurry down Cain's pathway, perpetuating his error, presenting to God the work of their own hands, rather than receiving instruction and insight from the hand of God. Their pious thoughts, their good works, their religious rituals, they're being baptized and catechized and ritualized. Their pious thoughts, their good works, their religious rituals, and their social actions are completely without value in the eyes of God. The only thing that has value in the eyes of God is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when we bring ourselves by faith under the protective covering of that shed blood, we're fully forgiven and cleansed and made the people of God. There was a contrast in the identity of these offerings. Very quickly, there was a contrast in the quality of them, their perfections. It is said that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Do you notice? He brought of the fruit of the ground. It is not said that he brought the first fruits of the ground, the best that he had. There's no indication that he brought the best. He brought whatever happened to be in his possession at the moment. Conversely, it is said that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, verse 4. He brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. The fat symbolized health. It symbolized strength, and it symbolized value. The fat was a very attractive quality in animals, if not in humans. And the giving of the firstlings was Abel's way of acknowledging that the whole flock belonged to God and that God should be the first to receive his portion, not the last.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
God would not look with favor and regard upon Cain's offering. Cain brought neither the blood nor the best.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.